broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It's very simple. Secure your borders, enforce the laws.
I was never, ever interested in being a dictator.
We've tried him once. We don't believe in firing people twice.
I just got a call from the residents of Charlie Sheen.
Teabagging Queen Rachel Maddow.
The boys call it ball tapping.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And where we go through the looking glass every night and go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This is the last bastion, or maybe the first bastion, of real radio in America, the Phil Hendry Show. Chaos is erupting in Egypt, and Anderson Cooper gets, quote, attacked, end quote. We'll see whether that was in point. The facts, schools in one district in Michigan allow Sikh students, which is a religion, to carry small ceremonial daggers on campus. And we're going to get into religious freedom and zero tolerance with the Western States Homeowners Association parent teacher organization president. Plus, if you still want Super Bowl tickets, you're going to have to pony up nearly $5,000 a ticket. We'll have Raj Fineen and Bobby Dooley tonight. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our affiliate spotlight tonight on our great Houston affiliate, KPRC 950 AM. And two brand new affiliates, one in Utica, New York, WUTI 1150 AM, where I spent the summer of 1975 working for WBVM in my early incarnation as an oldies but goodies disc jockey. And then, and I had a great time. And then in Rapid City, South Dakota, KTOQ 1340 AM. 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Brand new merchandise going into the store this weekend will be our Phil Hendry Show shot glass. And we still have our legacy CDs, the best of Phil Hendry Show from 1997 through 2005. Get them. They're all in their original packaging, all untouched, all very pristine and virgin, and just the way you like them, you sick freaks, you. So go over there to philhendryshow.com. Get your backstage pass as well and watch our live streaming video of the show tonight. We do have on the line Mr. Raj Fineen, who we've had on the program in the past as we talked about events in the Middle East as well as immigrant issues. And Raj, welcome to the program. This is now your home country, though, that is going through this distress. How do you feel?
Well, you know, I haven't been in touch a little bit with the people there. You know, we are back and forth. You know, the people in Alexandria, which is where I originally am from, and some of my family has young people going to school in Cairo, you know.
Are you worried?
Well, sure, you're going to be worried. But Egypt is an old country. It's a tough people, you know. They've been through a lot. And we hope that, you know, the best is going to happen for that country that has been, like I say, you know, it's been around a long time.
And, well, you know, you have this man Mubarak. Tell me about him, and tell me what you think of him.
Well, I'm not, you know, I think that after Anwar al-Sadat was killed, Hosni Mubarak came in and gave us stability, you know. And the people of the country, I think, felt that this was, you know, bad, you know, that perhaps there's going to be instability, and they were afraid. So Mubarak came and was a good friend to America. But I think now you see what's going on in the world, in Iraq and Iran and other places, and Tunisia and so forth. The people of Egypt, you know, they want to have freedom too.
Sure.
And they want to be like America. You know, I've been in this country 3-4 years. America, they don't know, you know, the influence that they have. People want to be like America, and they want to have their countries like the freedom that you have in America, you know, and
America's the example of democracy.
You know, America, yeah, America, example of good life, you know, a good democracy. Yeah, people work their job and raise their family, and so people want to have a life like this. And Mubarak is a dictator. There's not a democracy. And so then the people of Egypt rise up, you know. And
okay, so they're rising up and they want to get rid of Mubarak. And what in its place do they want?
Well, they want to have what America and Europe, you know. And
tell me about this Muslim Brotherhood and.
No, there's no constituent. The Muslim Brotherhood is an extreme group of people that don't have Egyptian. The people don't support, you know. There's a very loud minority of these extreme Islamic people, but they are not representative of the people of Egypt, because Egypt has never been a religious country, more secular, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what do you think Egypt needs right now?
I think right now what Egypt needs is, first of all, I think America needs to recognize that if it was not for America, there is not going to be this uprising, you know. They see Obama, and now the Egyptian people want to have what we have. So they start to go about it, you know, in this roundabout way, you know, to rioting and this kind of thing. So what we need is America to give us the example, there must be America to support us, you know, so we don't fall under the spell of this Muslim extremism, you know.
Well, if you say that the Muslim Brotherhood, and it's kind of the way that I've read it, is a minority, a loud minority, right?
Yeah, it's a minority, but they have, you know, frightened people, you know.
No, I understand that. So the popular opinion in Egypt is not necessarily going in the way of the Islamic Republic. It's more a secular democracy. So what is it that America needs to do?
Well, I think I said, but America, because of their influence in Egypt, Egypt, this would never happen if there had not been America. So the people rise up and they riot, you know. And so America, by its influence, you know, has caused this rioting. And so we need America to come in, if not with the troops, at least with money.
All right, well, wait a minute, hold on for a minute. Let's look at this. American troops are never going to commit to Egypt.
Well, but I mean, right now, this civil disturbance was caused by America because...
Well, you're saying that this civil disturbance caused by America because the Egyptian people want to have a democracy like America, but where there was no outward provocation by America.
Well, it really doesn't matter, because the people there, or they want to have America so bad that they stop this riot, you know. Now we need to have police and troops, you know, and so...
Well, that's not going to happen. American troops are not going to go to Egypt.
But if they don't, then the rioting takes over and you have this Muslim, you know. The other thing, though, is...
You're telling me that if we don't have American troops in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood takes over?
Yes, because we need to have this control. Otherwise, this violence, the Muslims can take over, you know.
But you know the unreality, what you're asking.
I don't know. President Obama is a good man. I think he understands that America is responsible in some way, because they give so much to Israel, and they give so much to, I don't know, you know, Iraq. And Iraq and Israel, they get everything. And Egypt gets nothing. You know, and these bastards in Washington... give to Egypt everything. They give to Israel everything. They give to Iraq everything. But they give Egypt nothing, you know? And so we are asking for a commitment as well of $4 to $5 billion a year, because right now of the $2 billion that is being given to Egypt, you know?
$2 billion a year goes to Egypt right now in foreign aid. You want that up to $4 billion. And what do you spend that money on?
Well, we want to spend in Egypt to help develop a democracy, you know, to help infrastructure, electricity, this plumbing, you know, sports, the movie industry, it's so much. you know.
I didn't look at. I know that Egypt is a place that's in distress, and
if you look at Egypt, it's in very much distress.
No, I know it's a place that's in distress physically, and I know politically it's a very tortured place. But introducing American troops into Egypt is suicidal for the United States in terms of foreign policy. Just suicidal. And $4 billion up from $2 billion, we have a deficit. We have a debt in this country that is so politically, it's such a political nuclear reactor. There's no way that anybody's going to say yes to $5 billion a year for Egypt and troops.
Yes, I know, but if that's not the case, then America has to live with what they've done. You know,
well, what have we done?
The Muslim Brotherhood. You know,
and you're telling me the Muslim Brotherhood comes into being in Egypt because we supported Israel and Iraq?
Because America, yes, Israel and Iraq, but also the way America on the TVs, in the movie, in the movie, in the, I don't know what to say, my son, the way America parades its lifestyle across the stage and shows everybody how great it is. And then when we say, okay, I would like to be like America, guess what? It's no good. You know, the toilets don't flush. The electricity doesn't turn on. The movie, there's no movie industry. There's no a sports team. So America would rather give their money to Israel, give their money to Iraq, and not give their money to Egypt. And this douchebag, you were saying about this bastard.
What when you use the word bastard, what do you mean by that?
It's not derogatory. Well, it's like what you say, douchebag.
Well, I'd rather not use that language.
Well, I just mean these guys in Washington who won't give the money to Egypt because you say the deficit. You know,
we have a crushing debt. We have a national debt of $12 trillion, a half a trillion dollars a year now. It could get to $1 trillion a year deficit spending. It's beyond belief. Getting $5 billion a year for Egypt, up from $2 billion, is going to be a virtual impossibility.
Yes, but you asked me, so I say that America has to live what it creates.
Well, I have to tell you, Mr. Finine, that I reject outright the idea that America created or would be creating.
Yes, but you have to see what these bastards in Washington. These guys are not going to give the money.
It doesn't make them bastards if they're not giving the money. And I reject outright that any Muslim Brotherhood taking over in Egypt is America's fault. I've been listening to this stuff too long. I can recognize that there are historical reasons for it, going all the way back to World War One and the British, if you want to talk about who's to blame.
Well, the British, set up all this stuff, and no one knows how to do it. You know, they've got electricity, they've got the oil well, they've got the plumbing. Nobody knows how to do it. So in America, it is imperative that America send personnel and more money. And now let's see if America is the great country it says it is, you know.
Well, all right. Raj Finine joining us. America is supposed to come to the rescue now, folks. We need to give them money and we need to send troops to Egypt because our democratic traditions and our democratic society has inspired this revolution. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your phone calls for our guest Raj Finine coming up next, 877-876-7445. Next hour, Bobby Dooley on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Good. 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 Yeah, like a douchebag.
I did see it. We're on with Raj Finine. Mr. Finine is a businessman from Alexandria, Egypt, living here in Los Angeles. His family has an insulation business. You had family here before you came over. Is that right, Raj?
Yes. My brother was here. My sister-in-law was here. I've got two nephews. And my wife and my son. My son was born here.
Your son's an American?
My son is an American, yes.
You've heard the arguments. I'm sure you've heard the debates about birthright citizenship, huh?
Well, I don't know what to say. My son is an American,
And he doesn't speak English, does he?
He does not want to speak English.
He doesn't want to speak English. He speaks Arabic.
Yes, sir.
But does he know how to speak English?
He does, but he doesn't like it. And
You know, that's the kind of thing, I just am telling you, that's the kind of thing that people feel. To be an American is to immerse oneself in the culture of America, but our culture is a monolinguistic culture. We speak English. We have other people that speak other languages.
Well, you know, it's also a free country, you know. So Todd's going to do what Todd's going to do, you know, good luck. You know, what do you want from me?
Well, why don't you have the kid speak English in the house?
Because he doesn't. You know, what I'd like to do is speak more about Egypt, because Egypt is doing what they're doing because America. If America wasn't walking around, Todd said this to me, my son, he says, America is like that girl who walks down the street and she's got these pants that, you know, they are tight pants and so on and so forth. And you look out the window, you go, sure would I love to be with that girl, you know? And yet the Egyptian is the man in the car who will never be with that girl. And America is that girl who walks the street, you know. And we want to be with that girl, you know.
And so what you need is for that girl to walk over to the car and open the door and put your hands around her waist.
What?
Well, that's what you're saying. America, in order to be like America, you want America's help, you want our troops, and you want our money. All right, let me just...
Really, I want your money. You know, you make it sound like we're a bunch of panhandlers. You know,
if you want foreign aid doubled up from $2 billion to $4 to $5 billion a year, Mr. Fanin, I wouldn't call you panhandlers, but, I mean, let's call it what it is. You're asking for money, especially from a country that hasn't got it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here is Linda in Tampa, Florida, on with Raj Fanin. Go ahead, Linda. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, good morning. Thank you for your show. Thank goodness.
Yes, ma'am.
This is a free country, and we can actually speak without getting our heads cut off. But the comment that the man said, I feel so bad, what's going on in that country. But we, as Americans, regardless of color or whatever, we cannot continue to get everybody out of trouble. We need to bring our American boys home, okay? Enough is enough, and they're going to have to deal with their own and get their own government. They've seen plenty in Europe and United States. So you know what? I'm so sorry for them, but they have to deal with their own, and we need to get out of there.
Well, you know, but America, for years, America goes, look at us, look at how great we are, and look at the movies that we make, and look at the, you know, like I said to Phil, you know, America is like you, Linda. You're probably a beautiful girl. As you walk down the street, a man will look at you and say, I think she's so beautiful, I wish I would be with Linda. That's America. I want to be with America. So
well,
you got to help, you know, we need some money. We need technology. I mean,
we haven't got it, man. You're hearing what Linda's saying? We got a whole country full of problems, no money. You know, we got our troops are in Iraq and Afghanistan.
America is the most powerful military in the world. There's no military like America. You can go anywhere. You can do anything.
Okay,
why do you not want to help us? Why don't you want to help Egypt, which has helped you? We helped you.
When did you help us?
Are you kidding? In the Gulf War and all of that.
Listen, America has been this way for many, 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 many years, over 100 years, and everybody in the world knows how our country has been. Why haven't y'all taken effect then? I don't know how old you are, but you must be 40 or 50 years old. Okay, 50 years from being a child, knowing America, and we dealt with your country. Why haven't your people dealt with that within?
England, Egypt was down there minding its own business. Then England, you know, England, right? The British. Then they come down and they kick, excuse my language, they kick everybody's ass. I mean, they kick everybody's ass. And then they take over and then they say, okay, we're all done now. You be Egypt.
All right, I understand the colonial I understand World War I and a lot of stuff, okay? But what Linda's saying is, I think what Linda's essential point is, take charge of your fate. Take charge, as the American people did way back when, as many countries have had to do. Take charge of your fate and make it happen.
We've got the Muslim Brotherhood. If you don't give us this money, we could go Islam. You want that? Linda, Linda, do you want us to be to go to Islam?
Listen, you're listen.
You're going to make us go to Islam. Well,
your religion is your religion. That religion, this has nothing to do with religion. Okay.
Well, you
religion is very powerful if you make it powerful. But if you stand up and don't, you have to be a, not a follower, and that's what the people have. You don't want to follow anybody.
They're going to take over.
All right, look at Linda. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Raj Fineen on the line here. Egypt, they need our help. Should we give it to them? We'll be back.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Before we get back to Raj Fineen and talking about Egypt and what the country of Egypt needs in the mind of Mr. Fineen, which is essentially American assistance to turn it into a democratic country and not an Islamic dictatorship, I want to tell you about Dynapep. Dynapep is something that we use on occasion here on this show, a micro shot of energy. Now, I use this, I tell you, probably a couple times a week when I really need to just get a blast. It is a very, very natural product, okay? I mean, I would not even be touching this stuff because, believe me, I'm a coffee drinker. I'm a Pepsi drinker. You guys know me. I drink a little tequila. But as far as anything else going into my system, I quit smoking over a year ago. I kind of like to keep everything nice and pure and natural and sweet and groovy. So about less than a teaspoon of Dynapep. It has no sugar, no crash. That's the best part. No jitters. Just 2 calories, and it'll get you through the night focused, alert. It keeps you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. And like I said, no crash, no jitters, none of that speedy stuff. It's terrific. It is, it's all natural. And like I said, no sugar added at all. So try it out. Dynapep, they're a sponsor of ours. Not only they're a sponsor, but I use it, as does Bud and as does Robert and as do a lot of our guys on staff. I insist. I make them. I'm kidding, but I'm sure that they do. Dynapep. Go to their website, dynapep.com, D-Y-N-A-P-E-P.com. Visit dynapep.com, the micro energy shot. Visit them right now. All right, Raj Fineen from the Valley, and we're talking with him here tonight about Egypt. We've got some people hanging on the line who want to talk, and Mr. Fineen, I appreciate you being with me when we talk about Egypt, and you have not been home for how long?
I've not been 3 years.
And your son was born here, and your son is an American citizen who refuses to speak English, so he's not going to get necessarily immersed in the culture, but what you are asking for is American money and possibly American troops for an Egyptian democracy. Otherwise, it's sure to be an Islamic dictatorship. Now, all of this sounds all well and good, but it almost sounds like it's a threat.
Well, no.
Well, it sounds a little bit like you're saying either pony up or...
Yes, in a way, I'm saying if you don't do this, then this is going to happen. Of course I'm saying that, because... that's just the way, to use the American idiom, that's just the way the ball game's played, you know. You got to pay your way. And in America, to our friends, Egypt has been a friend. And so we need money for infrastructure. We need money, and we need possibly the security of troops for infrastructure. We've got a long way to go in terms of some of the things that we want to do. Is the new stadium in Cairo I mentioned to you. There's entire fashion industries and a national park system, malls, and these things that normal democracy have, we don't have.
What do you mean a soccer stadium?
We have a retractable dome soccer stadium that was suspended because of what's going on. There's $100 million needed for this. So $5 billion minimum. Otherwise, you know...
Otherwise, we've got an Islamic dictatorship, and that's what it sounds like to me, that it's some kind of an ultimatum. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Regina in Brooksville, Florida. Go ahead, Regina.
Regina, this is Regina.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air. Yes, uh-huh.
I would like to say that I do love Egyptian people,
as
well as
as well as Israeli people.
Yeah.
And we do give a lot of foreign aid to Israel because they do give us their airspace. They help defend us over there. And I have the best regards for Egyptian people.
Well, but what? You're about to say but.
But I also believe that what you said, that we do need to step up to the plate and give some more foreign aid, or else the consequence is going to be possibly this radical side Islamic religion. It's very possible, and it's only going to cause a lot
A lot of these Egyptians, you know, look, I live in America, so I kind of know how it is here. But most of my countrymen, to use a phrase you use in America, a lot of them are hillbillies, you know. They're not sophisticated. And the first guy that comes up to them with a checkbook, they're his best friend. So I say to you, Egypt is going to be your best friend, but you've got to start to sign some checks, you know. And what we're asking for is a $5 billion a year. That would be a double of our current aid level. America troops, and again, we need some engineering infrastructural help.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say that
plumbing.
you got your $5 billion or $5 million, whatever you ask for tomorrow. Let's assume that you have it in your pocketbook right now.
Yes.
How can you guarantee that it's not going to get into the wrong hands? And
I tell you how. Can give us trust me. It won't. You know.
No, now let's say we don't trust you.
Oh well.
How do we know
like that
the money?
Yeah, it's like that. We don't trust you. What do we do?
I tell you what you do. Regina and to Phil, you do this all the time with a contractor. You give us enough money to get project A finished. When that project is finished, then you pay. You pay as you go, see? So that's not unheard of. You do that every day in America with a contractor or some kind of thing like this. So if we say we're putting a retractable dome on a soccer stadium, $100 million.
What do you mean a retractable dome on the... I can't believe you're spending money. You got a dome stadium in Cairo you're worried about. Your country's coming apart.
Don't worry about it.
Let me say something. We gave money... We have given money to Iran, but what happened? Iran has turned on us. We have given money to...
He did it wrong.
What do you mean we did it wrong?
You didn't do it the way I said to do it. You should have paid as you
installment
go.
Installment plans. He wants installment plans. I see. You think that's a solution?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what you do with every developing country. Trust me on this.
No, I'm not going to trust a guy that says to me, if you want something done, then you better start signing some checks. Regina, thank you very much. Let's go to Muhammad in Raleigh, North Carolina. Go ahead, Muhammad. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I've been listening bits and pieces for the gentleman from Egypt claiming to be from Egypt.
Sir.
With all respect, I do not agree with everything you're saying. I'm a Muslim, and I'm an American. I'm proud of it. I'm originally from the Middle East. You were talking about the that we need to give America needs to give more money and double it or whatever billion. I didn't hear everything you were saying.
$2 billion a year right now is go to $2 billion a year right now goes to Egypt for foreign aid. My feeling,
I don't understand what you're saying. I'm sorry.
I said that $2 billion a year right now goes to Egypt from America. I'm saying to double this to four.
$4 billion.
Yes.
Okay. So, in order, what's the reason behind it? Is just to help Egypt and preventing it from falling.
You know as well as I do,
Brotherhood.
You know as well as I do that money talks no matter where. Egypt, the people of Egypt need infrastructure, job, economy. Right? Yes. You're going to get this done. America can get this done and shut out this Muslim Brotherhood, whatever they think they're going to do. All they've got to do is start to sign the checks. And I also think America troop because of the security. But America was the ones that said, look at how, you know what I mean? this woman goes down the street. I was saying, like a good-looking woman going down the street, and you're driving by, you go, man, what I wouldn't give, right? Huh?
I'm listening.
Hey, hello. What's that?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, so what?
So what? So I'm saying, we want some of that. Egypt wants to be like America. Lebanon wants to be like America. Tunisia wants to be like America. If for all I know, Syria wants to be like America. So America needs to get into the...
We've said we don't want to do nation building anymore.
You're blowing it. Blowing it bad.
So you, from understanding what you're saying is you want the money to go to Egypt in order to implement the American dream, I would say, in Egypt. Is that something?
Yes, yes. That's what Egyptians want.
Why? Okay, I understand that. America does good things.
Right. So, in other words, the money would go to Egypt, and they would build the American dream, including the retractable dome stadium.
With you don't like that idea.
You got a country in the middle of a revolution and you want a retractable dome stadium in Cairo.
So?
Gosh. Sir, with all respect to the gentleman originally from Egypt, Egypt, you know, when Jamal Abdel Nasser was back in the late 60s, Egypt was, people used to come to Egypt and work, and it was one of the powerful countries there. And it wasn't receiving any money. It was probably more or less from the Soviet Union, but it was a country that full of resources, human resources, and still material resources, and it still is. America is doing good things for so many countries in the Middle East. The same thing, I do disagree with the policy towards the Middle East, because we do have, as Americans, as a policy, as a policymakers, double standard.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, my God, was that guy boring. And so are you. Let's take a break. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You guys are boring me to tears.
I'm trying to say.
No, you know, that one guy, he's going into a whole thing about the American foreign policy in the Middle East. You're talking to me about a retractable dome stadium in Cairo and how you need money for a movie industry, electricity. You need money for plumbing. You need money for any number of things. And then you guys will be just like America. It sounds to me like you're saying either give us money so that we can create an American-style democracy, or we will give the whole thing over to the Muslim Brotherhood. Let me ask you a question. When the Muslim Brotherhood takes over and they're chopping off hands and heads, and they're making women wear bags, and Egypt is turns back the clock 600 years. How are you going to feel then?
Look, you make a good dramatic. This is not going to happen. America would not ever let it happen.
Well, you know who might not let it happen is Israel. You know,
well, what is that supposed to mean?
Because Israel just might take a look and see what's going on across the border in Egypt and surmise we can't afford to have another hostile country in the Middle East. We've already got Iran stirring it up. We got Syria doing their bidding. We got everybody else, Lebanon, against us. We don't need another one. And maybe Israel will do something about it. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Paul in Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I just had a simple point. How about if we cut every penny off to the country and change will happen? Instead of throwing more money,
then it will be Islam.
The government that's already in power, we're going to give them more money to distribute.
No, not the government that's in power. You let that
So we're going to go in with troops. And then there's one other thing I just didn't understand. I mean, I was in Desert Storm, and I didn't see any Egyptians. I understand there was a hue up there was digging a latrine a few blocks away, but I didn't see a pig nobody brought while I was there.
What's that? What did you say?
Did you not understand English?
I don't understand your English. I don't understand your English.
I'm sorry. I was in Desert Storm.
in the Gulf War. You know that?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't you know any Egyptians except a few of them digging a latrine. They wasn't kicking nobody's butt that I saw. Maybe he was there.
Well, I didn't say they were. I said the British did. But that's because you didn't hear what I said. I said the British did.
Oh, and you won't mind if your son registers for the draft so when we send troops over there, he can actually do something. And how much money?
No, he's not going to. No, my son is not going to fight. My son's going to be a doctor.
He's going to be a doctor to fix all Americans that died trying to take care of things. Why are we there? Can we give them freedom of religion, too?
Well, I don't care so long as you give enough money for them to create a country that America wants them to have this country.
Do you want them to have democracy?
My son is too good to be a soldier. What's that? My son's too good to be a soldier.
What's that mean, your son's too good to be a soldier?
I'm a soldier.
No, I didn't say that. No, I did not say that. I said my son...
Yes, you did. You said your son is too good.
I said he is more advanced in his education.
Than to be a soldier.
No, I didn't.
Yes, that's what you said. You know, there are doctors who are soldiers.
Well, no, they're not soldiers.
Yes, they are. They're in the Army, they're in the Navy, they're soldiers.
Well, that's bullcrap. So, you know, sorry, Paul, but I say to you, we need money to help our country.
What, to make it democracy? Right.
Yes, to make it a democracy.
Well, I got to do this for you.
All right, Paul.
We don't have a democracy.
Thanks very much. 877-876. Phil, let's go over here to Zach. Zach, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi there, Phil. This is Zach. Hi. I'm 26 years old. I'm an Afghan-American. My father is actually an independent contractor in Afghanistan. He's also a U.S. citizen. He works with the military. I'd just like to just point out that this this guy that's talking, I forget his name, the Egyptian, he seems like a really nice person.
My name is Raj.
He's sort of painting a bad image of Islam, the way he's speaking, the way he's interpreting everything. We don't need to send any money over to Egypt. We don't need to send money anywhere to the Middle East or anywhere else in the world for that matter, because America itself, they're going bankrupt in itself if you look at the debt. But instead of sending money over, we should send, you know, people over. We should send the man's son who wants to become a doctor. We should send him there as an American.
You know.
As an American citizen, we should send him there to help the people out, to educate, to get nurses, to get lawyers, to get... there's many people in my family who right now are in Afghanistan, who are American citizens, who are Afghan, who are lawyers and doctors, who are in Kabul right now.
All right, hold on. What are you saying, Raj?
Oh, we need money, not this guy. He's going on and on about stuff. I appreciate it. I appreciate what the man is saying. But we need people to start writing some checks. And we need it now. Because if we don't... See, you don't pay the bill with your good looks. You know that, right? You don't pay no bill with your good looks. Okay?
We need cash to make the IMAX theater, the Strip Mall, the Walgreens, the 7-Eleven, aid that's sent over to Afghanistan from America or other coalition forces. That money, let's say if you send $1 million over, only maybe a fraction, $10,000, $100,000 will actually get to the people who actually need it.
How do we know the money's going to get there?
Pocket that money. So you need to create a system to be able to send that aid over. But before you do
you don't need the
right people in place.
You don't need that. What you need is you don't need that. What are you talking about? What we are asking for...
No, that's exactly what we need. We got to find out exactly where this money's going. We've been throwing more money away. That whole Haiti earthquake thing...
What?
No, sir.
What do you think, Egypt's Haiti?
No, but I'm just saying the money that we tried to raise...
You're saying that my country is Haiti? You know, son, Egypt is not doing good, but we know Haiti, you know... We've got
Egypt is definitely not doing well, but most of the world right now is not doing well. In Greece, they're having problems. In Tunisia, in Lebanon,
America's
everywhere
doing okay.
In the Middle East, there's problems. In South America, there's problems.
America's doing all right, and right now, we got a Super Bowl coming up. So I'd say America's doing better than anybody. And all I'm saying...
Well, all you're saying is we need to start cashing, you know, we need to start cashing in our bonds and writing the checks. Otherwise, you guys are going to turn into an Islamic dictatorship. And who knows? You may be right. You know, you may be right. And maybe that's what we should have done with the Shah. Maybe that's what we should have done with a lot of countries. But now's not the time, you know?
Well, Egyptians are trustworthy. We're good with money. You trust the Jews, right? Don't you trust the Jews with money?
What Jews? Are you talking about Israel?
Yes.
I don't know how we do it with Israel. I guess we deposit it into the national Israeli...
That's what you do with us. Into the national Egyptian bank account. So if you guys want to give the Jews money, at least you can do is trust us with it. But this guy, Zach, now you're from where, Zach? You're from Afghanistan?
Yes,
I understand. Afghanistan is a little shaky. I wouldn't be laying any money on them. But Egypt is a better bet.
And Egypt's a better bet. All right, Zach, thanks so much. I think Afghanistan's the better bet than Egypt, to be perfectly honest with you. Thank you very much for your call. If I was going to, you know, invest anywhere.
Why?
Because if Afghanistan has seen the Taliban, they've seen the worst of the worst. And this is a country that's there's nowhere else for them to go but up.
You're trying to tell me that you'd lay money on an Afghani and you'd send me walking.
Yeah, yeah, I would.
Boy, that hurts, you know? That really hurts. And my son is going to be a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and I was thinking maybe he'd do your eyes for you, but forget it. Not now.
All right, did he do Greta's job?
He did do Greta, yeah.
Henry.
We'll be back.
Not really.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
If Hosni Mubarak fell, they are the whole...
I was never, ever interested in being...
Security borders.
I just got a call from the residents of Charlie Sheen.
He claimed that he was going to cook the cat.
Boy, what a headache.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, and also online at philhendryshow.com. And, of course, we're going places every night where talk shows, frankly, wish they could, but they can't. And it's a big job for a big show. All right. We have our website, philhendryshow.com. Go on over there, get yourself a backstage pass, and get with it, brother. Watch the show here from the comfort of your home on your laptop. You can watch it on your you can watch it on your iPhone. Well, you can't watch it on the iPhone yet, can you? Because iPhone, they don't go. They don't play Flash Player. But you can very shortly watch it on your iPhone on demand. You can watch it on your Droid on demand or live. So if you're out mobile tonight and you say, well, I think I'll check in with Phil and watch the show on my video cast, boom, there we are. All the smartphones, your Droids, all of them. So check it out at philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association will join us here. I think we have Bobby this evening to talk with us about a similar situation they had to what has just transpired in Canton, Michigan. There's a school district in Canton, Michigan called the Plymouth Canton School District. I imagine because there's another town or something there that's called Plymouth. And they have decided to allow a Sikh student, and the Sikh people are a religious sect, originating in the sub-Asian continent, India. And they are going to allow Sikh students to wear a small religious dagger to school. This is a small 3 to 5 inch kirpan or dagger that is a religious symbol that baptized Sikh males are expected to carry that symbolizes power over evil. The school originally would not let the boy keep the kirpan. They instituted a ban because of concerns from parents and conflicts with the district's prohibitions against bringing weapons into school. And it may sound silly, And much of the zero-tolerance stuff sounds a little silly to us. Bobby Dooley is on the line with us. Bobby, I just want to finish the story here. Are you there, Bobby?
Yes, Phil.
Okay. Under new guidelines, kirpans meeting certain criteria will be allowed for Sikh students. And so you went through this yourself with another student in the in your school there at Western Estates Middle School. What was the child's name?
That was a Tom family. UTTAM. His name was Amar, A-M-A-R. A very nice boy. And we realized that what we could do, we really wanted to provide, obviously, safe learning for all of the students, but we do want to balance the rights of students to express and, of course, practice their religion. And in light of the strict scrutiny standard that's applied, we decided to, just as these people have done in Michigan, we decided to allow this child to bring a modified version of this so that he could carry his kirpan.
Now, this is a dagger, but it's a ceremonial dagger. It's only 3 to 5 inches. 5 inches is not very long. Is it something that you think could reasonably threaten the safety of another student?
Well, I don't know. Obviously, anything that is pointed, regardless of the size, anything you can jab with, anything you can stick someone with, could certainly be considered dangerous. We have all manner of sharp objects in school, anything from ballpoint pens to pencils. What we decided is that the kirpan, if he was going to wear it at school, should be sewn inside a sheath, which is what they carry the ceremonial dagger in such a way that the blade cannot be removed. The blade of the kirpan was restricted to no more than 2 1/4 inches. It must be a dull blade, and it could not be worn on the outside of the clothing. So what we did there was then, you know, allow for the expression of freedom of religion, which is what we're really about at our school, Phil, and at the same time make sure that the students are safe.
I'm hearing water. Now, I know that you're taking a little bit of a bath tonight, huh?
It's been that kind of a day. It's been a tough day because you have to explain these things to parents who a lot of the parents are not aware of different religions beyond the Christian religion or the Jewish faith, and they become very concerned, and they ask a lot of questions, and many of the questions are good questions. And many of the questions are not. And so, you know, you do get a headache. And I got a little bit of a migraine headache, so.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're feeling better. It sounds like you're in a nice hot tub. Let me ask you, though, to that extent, Josh Taylor, one of the students, I believe, at Western Estates.
I know the story.
Okay, so you know the Josh Taylor family. When that little boy stood up to pray, he was brought to, I guess the child was brought to the office, I mean, the administration.
He went to he did. He went to Bill Tradlin's office, and they said, I said, send him directly over to me because I wanted to know what was going on.
All right, so this little boy was praying.
Well, he was trying to organize a prayer, and can I ask you a question while you're bringing this up?
Well, my question is this: not that I'm bringing it up, but it was brought up to me by a couple of parents. If you want to make sure that a Sikh student's religious freedom is protected, then why is a Christian student's religious freedom to express themselves not protected?
The reason, first of all, I don't really appreciate your comparison. I don't think they're the same thing. I think they're apples and oranges. And I am, again, I want to remind you and your listeners that I had a day. If I could be a little religious, I had a day from hell dealing with this issue, with the kirpan, and then what you're asking me, which I think is, I don't think it's really fair, Phil.
Why isn't it fair? If a Sikh student is allowed to wear this ceremonial dagger as an expression of his religion, and at least in the case here of the Plymouth Canton School District, and you said the same thing, you do not want to inhibit the expression of a person's religion, a student's religion, and yet you didn't let this boy pray. Why?
And are you saying this because you feel that this is relevant?
I do. I feel it's relevant. I feel that the wearing of a religious dagger is an expression of a Sikh religious ethic or event. It's a symbol of something. Why not pray?
Well, the reason why I told that student the Josh Taylor story, is that right?
Yeah, the Christian boy that wanted to pray.
I know he was Christian. And when they brought him to the administrative offices, I said, I want to see him immediately. So they had called ahead, and they talked to Bob Tuggle, who's the principal. And I said to Bob, I want to talk to that young man. I don't want him even talking to you. Bring him directly to me. They brought him over to me, and I told Josh, why did you stand up and try to pray when you know that that's not allowed? Even though we have that Sikh student, and I know what you're trying to pull. And he gave me this smart look. So I knew that he was a very much a discipline problem.
And what do you mean a smart look?
He gave me the look like, I got you now, Dooley. I know the type.
Do you think that this boy stood up to pray in school because he wanted to get you?
I think he did. I think they knew that this Sikh story was going to happen. I think that he...
I don't want to get too involved in this, Ms. Dooley, because I really would like, I think the essential question that I'm asking you is a good question, and that is the following thing. Was this child, the Sikh, how is he any different from a Catholic, from a Christian? You wanted this Sikh child to be able to wear his kirpan, his ceremonial dagger, and it's a religious symbol that baptized Sikh males are expected to carry. And the quote, I believe, in light of, you want them to freely exercise his or her religion, and we don't want an individual's right to be violated, correct?
That's exactly correct, yes. And so you're going to ask me why I didn't let the Christian boy pray.
Yes, exactly. Why not then let him pray?
The reason why is because Christians are in a majority and get to pray basically anytime they want to, as well as pray to a lot of the programs on television, as well as pray to in the church. As well as pray in a church. As well as, you know, I think it's a trick question that you're asking me. I've got a migraine headache.
No, I'm not trying to ask you a trick question, and I'm sorry. And if you don't want to be on the air, that's fine.
No, I'm fine, Phil, but I think it's a trick question.
No, it's not. It's not. I really don't think it's a trick question. If a Sikh child, if a child of a religion is allowed to carry this symbol because you don't want to, violate his religious freedom, why not let a Christian child pray?
The Christian child praying, we're opposed to that. Because the atheists who initially brought this whole prayer in school thing, they were the ones that did not want the Christians to have all of this. I don't think they thought about Sikhs. I don't, right now, I would say this. I'd be happy to answer your question if you will at least admit that Christians are oppressive.
You know what? I'm going to, if I admit that Christians are oppressive.
Yes.
All right. You know what? Hold on for a minute. Let me give the phone number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley here. They allowed at Western Estates Homeowners, Western Estates Middle School, a Sikh child to wear a ceremonial dagger, a religious dagger, because they don't want to violate his freedom of religion, but a Christian child was not allowed to pray. So how come? Ms. Dooley says Christians are in the majority, and they also are a little oppressive. 877-876-PHIL. More calls from you with our guest Bobby Dooley. And next hour, of course, our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah.
Show. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Online with us is Bobby Dooley. She is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, as well as their parent-teacher organization. Now, the question that we're talking here, and I think it's a very good question, Ms. Dooley, and I know that you made this decision to allow the little boy, the little Sikh child, this child, Amar Utman, I think is his name, Utam?
Amar Utam, yes.
Okay. You allowed that child to wear his little kirpan, which is this dagger. It is a religious symbol. You allowed him to wear this on his uniform, sewed onto onto his clothing, because you don't want to...
No, I heard your reasons. I know what my reasons are, Mr. Henry.
Ms. Dooley, please, I'm articulating them so my audience knows, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so then when the little Christian boy wanted to pray... you did not want him to pray.
That's correct, because it's against the Constitution of the United States. And I don't know what...
Then why is his religious freedom not respected?
Whose religious freedom are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Christian child that is not allowed to pray, but the little boy with the dagger, and I know I got a guy holding on in Detroit who's asking about weapons in school, so I guess he missed the point totally. This is not about weapons in school, right?
No, it is not about weapons in school, because it's sewn into the sheet.
Okay, so am I going to be wasting a lot of time with line 8 here? Well, let's go to the call anyway. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jim in Detroit. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes,
I don't know. I'm not wasting any time.
No, I'm just saying, Jim, your question is about weapons in school.
Yeah, weapons in school.
Okay, first of all, she's got it's sewed into... Hold on. It's sewed into a sheath, is that right?
Yes.
Well, a sheath is all that is to hold the knife.
So you're not really sure what we're talking about here, right? I mean, we're talking about religious freedom. All right, go ahead. So you think it's a weapon in school? Go ahead.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
It's a knife.
No,
is it
it's
not a knife.
It's not.
It's not a knife. It's not a blade that's 2 inches and a quarter inch.
No.
Isn't that what you said? I swear I heard you say it's a
blade. All right,
blade
thank you very much.
Dull.
Let's keep our eyes on the ball here, screening these calls. What we're talking about is religious freedom. And not about the fact that it's not a dagger, right?
No, it is a symbol. It's not a dagger. And if it were a dagger, it would violate zero tolerance, but it's not.
All right. So anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Again, the prayer in school thing is what I'm talking about.
No, I know, Mr. Henry, but you're not winning the argument. You know, you're just not winning the argument.
I'm not trying to argue anything. I'm just asking.
Well, yes, you are. I think you're so far off base with your argument that man wanted to talk about weapons in school instead. That's how just completely incomprehensible you are.
If I'm incomprehensible, let me ask you this. Freedom of expression of religious belief is what you said that child's right was.
That's correct.
But you don't think the kid who's Christian has that right?
No, I don't. And people agree with me. People agree with me. Phil, you need to understand...
Why do you think people agree with you?
Because that last man that called wanted to talk about a weapon in school. That's how bored he is with your point of view. Now, if you'll just let me finish.
Go ahead.
People agree that Christians have enough prayer. They pray here, they pray there, they pray everywhere. They're praying around the clock. The Sikh people have no place to pray. I don't even know if there's such a thing as a Sikh church, to be honest with you. So we don't really even see the Sikhs in church. So when a little boy comes to school with a dagger, and that is his symbol, we let him wear that. And when I told that Christian child that he was not allowed to pray, he came into my office and gave me this smart-ass look. And that's what I called his parents.
What did his parents say?
His parents said, how dare you let that Sikh child wear that symbol, but not let our child pray? And I said, well, that's too bad, because everyone's on my side and no one's on your side. And they gave me another one of these looks, just like their son, like they thought I was some sort of a thing, not a human being, but a thing. And I said, have a very pleasant and productive afternoon. and I went back to whatever I was doing. I think I was putting on some bunion cream.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying, Phil, is so far out of the mainstream. Everyone wants the Sikh child to have religious freedom. No one cares about the Christian kid because they've been running roughshod for years. Years.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Robert in Greensboro, North Carolina. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Ms. Dooley, I have a question for you. This country is founded on freedom of religion, right?
Well, it's founded on a lot of things.
Well, that's my main question. Was this country founded on freedom of religion, yes or no?
It was founded on freedom, really. That's what it was founded on the freedom.
Okay, my other question is this: you tell one religion, okay, go ahead and practice, it's fine. Why would you tell another one to sit down and you're not allowed to practice? Where's the equality in that?
That's what I've been asking. That's what I've been asking, Robert.
You have to treat all religions equally, so that not one is felt less than the other. Isn't that what we've been trying to do for all these years? Is trying to treat everyone equally, including religion?
Yes, absolutely. That's what we're trying to do. And so we're giving that Sikh child the opportunity that he never had to wear his little symbol. And the Christian, he got to do all of his praying from the very beginning of the country.
Well, I think you owe that little boy an apology for telling him he couldn't pray.
Well, I don't want to apologize to a child that was rude. He rolled his eyes at me.
Well, we're not talking about the child now. We're really talking about the practice of prayer in school. Robert, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Bobby Dooley talking about giving a Sikh child the religious freedom to wear a symbol of his religion, but the Christian child couldn't pray. Isn't that unequal? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
No, it's not unequal.
Show 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking here with Bobby Dooley, who is the president of the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization, Religious Freedom in School, a Sikh student. And the Sikhs are who, Bobby, if you can give us a thumbnail?
Yeah, the Sikhs are, generally, we recognize them as the people who wear the turbans. And
don't they wear sort of a traditional kind of pants?
It's a sort of Muslim-style pants. Hold on. That's dope. It's a kind of a Muslim-style pants. The women wear these tunics. The men wear the tunics. The men generally have beards. And they worship, I don't really know the particulars of the religion, but they do have a very small symbol of this dagger, much like the cross. You know,
Are Christians allowed to wear the cross in public schools?
I think that they are, although I don't. That's a good question. I would not allow it.
Well, okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. Why would you allow this?
I already told you.
No, you didn't tell me. You told me that the Christians, there's too many of them, and they're oppressive, and they're in the majority, and they've already done all the praying that they're ever going to want to do, and so let's give other guys a chance. Is that it?
No, I didn't say let's give other guys a chance. I didn't put it in the colloquial fashion that you did. I said Christians have been marking their territory long enough. Let's give some of these others who are more non-traditional. I think you would agree that a religion that wears a turban or has its children dressed in this very exotic way is an interesting sidelight and might be fun to watch. And so
this child wearing this symbol is fun to watch.
Mr. Hendry, you are trying to entrap me, and I'm not going to let you do it.
Well, I know, but I am finding glaring inconsistencies in what you're saying. The kid with the dagger, he gets to wear that. The kid with the cross, yeah, he does, but he shouldn't. The kid with the dagger has religious freedom rights. The kid who prays, no, he doesn't. That's what I've been hearing here.
You know, you're talking so much, I can hear that there's saliva building up in the back of your mouth. There's a nervousness to you. You're making me nervous.
No, there's no nervousness to me. I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm reacting to it.
Well, I'm hearing a very glottal kind of, I don't know what to say. It sounds as if you're going to be sick. And
no, I'm not going to be sick. What I'm trying to figure out here is how, and you sound like you run a unilateral dictatorship there.
Why do you say that?
Because the kid bypassed the principal and came right to you and gave you the smart-ass look, as you put it, and the parents rolled their eyes. So the whole family, Christian though they may be, prayerful though they may be, are a bunch of smart-asses.
That's right, yes. And I've had my eye on these people since they came to the school. And they pray, and they're all very much church-going. But when push comes to shove, there's some real, you know, they really very sarcastic.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Randy in St. George, Utah. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm having a hard time understanding or trying to follow where Mrs. Dooley is going. Mrs. Dooley, let's say if you were to present a vote to your students, who are Sikhs, would they carry more weight than a Christian?
No, absolutely not.
Even though they're a minority.
Equal religion. Equal religion. Equal freedom.
So
I've tried to explain this to Mr. Hendry. You don't get it either.
No, we don't get it.
I'm talking to the man, not you. You don't get it either.
I don't get it either. I'll be honest. I don't get it either. And where Mr.
What
Hendry
what is it that you don't get?
Sick,
that
I will get sick because I don't understand where you're coming from.
Well, maybe you're not very bright.
You know something? The fact that you are saying what you're saying, which is the following thing. The Sikh child gets to have the...
I explained already that Christians have been ruling the roost ever since the beginning of the country. You're in Utah, sir?
I am in Utah.
Okay. Are you a Mormon?
I am a Mormon.
All right. You know that Mormons, they ran the show out there for years. They had posses, and they had all kinds of things. And if you went against them, good luck. You know, they'd find you draped over a tree branch. So I think we've had just about enough of that. And now we want to hear from the Sikhs.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, because the Mormons are have been running around shooting people, and the other Christians have been running around doing what they've been doing, then that's enough of that.
Exactly. And the gentleman who's the Mormon was laughing, so I guess maybe he thinks that's funny that they were shooting people and draping them over tree branches as signposts as to how to find your way to Brigham Young's ranch.
Oh, man. Let's take a break here on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Back here with Bobby Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, who's in a tub tonight because, is your headache gone, or?
The migraine headache?
Yeah.
No, it is not gone. And I know I told you people that I would give you an hour, and I want to do that. But I don't really hear anything that has challenged me. I hear a lot of people repeating what you're saying, Phil. But I don't hear anything that has intellectually challenged me. And because of that, I feel it only right to tell you that I may want to conclude this interview early.
Well, what do you mean by challenged you? I think I have challenged you. I've said that in one instance, a child is allowed religious freedom. In the other instance, the child is not.
Christians do not get... Let me put it to you this way. You're talking about Christians, right?
Yes.
I spoke to the Mormon a minute ago, and that Mormon laughed because he knew what I was saying was true. Christians don't get the same religious freedom that other religions get.
Why not?
Because Christians founded this country and were allowed to be as free as the birds for decades, if not centuries, until there wasn't a street, there wasn't an alley, there wasn't a lane, a country lane, there wasn't a deserted stretch of desert or beach that didn't have either a cross or a fully constructed church on it. Christians spread out all across this country and made it theirs. Now come other religions. And we feel as educators that while Christians do get to have churches and everything, we decided to not allow prayer in school.
Because it was going to be Christian prayer.
Because it was going to be the same old thing, yes. And that was unconstitutional. And
boy, your reading of the Constitution.
Well, excuse me, I'm not done yet.
I'm just saying, your reading of the Constitution is, like, insane.
I'm not done yet.
You don't allow Christian prayer, but you do allow prayer from Muslims or Jews.
Because Muslims and Jews were on deck, if you want to put it that way. I mean, I can't say that they were persecuted, although the Jews were very persecuted. There were no Muslims here to persecute because the Muslims suddenly got the bright idea that, oh, let's go to America. I don't know when that happened or why. So,
boy.
What does that mean, boy?
You know, first of all, the First World War, which we just described last hour, the First World War was a war that forced an awful lot of immigration out of the Middle East, and much of it coming here to the United States. We had Muslims coming to the United States at the turn of the century in the millions, along with all of the folks from Europe. So the roots are sunk down at least as far back as then. Now you're talking about Jews and their immigration to the United States. And, of course, the same thing can be said for them because of the turmoil in the Middle East and in Europe because of the Holocaust. You know, so...
Well, you're making a point, Phil, that's all well and good. But the point that I'm making is they finally got here. And when they did, as Steve says, they were on deck. And
what do you mean on deck?
The religious freedom.
The religious freedom.
All right, let's go to another phone call. 1-877-876-PHIL. And here is Sal in Buffalo, New York, listening on WWKB. Sal, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I'd just like to,
yes,
to ask her why the rights of the few overrule the rights of the many, and that what, in your opinion, gives you the right to interpret your own feelings in making a decision against somebody as a Christian, you know, praying, and this other little boy being able to have his own religious medallion, if you want to call it. You have called it a dagger, so I don't understand why you say it's not a dagger. But regardless of that, if it's a religious article in our Constitution and our people have fought for so much, especially Christians, to get the things that they need out of their own religion and their own prayer and to make themselves feel safe and secure, why does then you have the right to then say to that boy, you can't pray?
Well, first of all, to address the dagger issue, it is a dagger, but it's not a dagger that you can use to actually harm anyone. It's a symbolic dagger. It would be as if you went to the restaurant and had one of those drinks, and they put a little toy sword in it. You know how they put the sword into the carry?
Little plastic sword?
Yes, I do. I understand that.
It's like that. Although you could put someone's eye out with it, you could probably take a piece of their eye with it.
All right, well then why would you allow that?
it's sewed into the sheet. That's the number one issue. But to address the larger issue that the gentleman mentioned, the Christians have had, they've had a pretty good time of it. You know, they've been doing everything they want, and I don't know what else they need.
Well, they do it in a structure, don't they? I mean, they do it with the rights of the freedoms that have been given to us by people that have fought and lost their lives. And so, you know, they have somebody then say, I'm going to be the keeper of rules now, and I'll make a decision because there are mass amounts of Christians around the world.
Right.
And there may be, you know, only 100,000 of this person's belief. I'm not sure
the
what
Sikh,
they call
it. The Sikh religion?
So
the Sikh religion. I mean, how is something like the Sikh religion given more weight if somebody is fought so hard to get the rights that they deserve and they won, and then they're taken from them and saying that okay, we're going to make this fair for everybody, so we're going to have a Bill of Rights, and this Bill of Rights says you're not allowed to do this, and this because we feel it's unsafe. It's it causes some havoc in the classroom, and that we're going to try to keep this out of our public schools because of our funding and different things, and we don't want to offend anybody. But aren't you offending the masses? I mean, the majority of the people out there.
Well, first of all, I don't know what you mean by the majority. I had to make a ruling. I decided it was unconstitutional for that boy to pray.
Where do you decide?
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, I'm not done. I decided that it was unconstitutional, but I did... Could you give me a towel? I did decide that it was constitutional for the other child, and why did I do that? All right. The Sikh religion, you're right, Sal, has only about 100,000 people. I don't know. But we have in this country something called the rights of... We respect the right of the majority, but we protect the rights of the minority. So I told little Josh Taylor, I said, your people have been, your mother and father have been in this office. You know that we don't like each other. I said, so why don't you back it down a notch? And that's when he went back into the classroom and started, our Father who art in heaven, in other words, he was really sticking it in and turning it. You know
what kind of a relationship do you have with this family?
Oh, they're really pushing me to the edge.
So did you? The little boy was praying, and you told him to stop.
Yes.
And then he went back and prayed louder.
Yes.
And then the parents visited.
And then the parents came in, and I told them that I had made a ruling that what he did was unconstitutional, but that the little Sikh boy could wear his religious symbol. And they rolled their eyes at me and went like this. I don't know if you heard me, Phil, but they tongue-clucked. They went like that.
Okay.
Well, it's very rude. It's insulting.
But it may be rude.
Isn't it rude to give somebody, you know, that same opinion as, well, you're making, you know, faces at me, or you're interpreting the size. You know, I told my children a long time ago. I raised two children by
myself. Well, they went like this. They went like that, you know.
It really doesn't make sense if I could just make this point. I said, if you have something to say to me, why don't you write it down in a letter? Because there's no size, there's no eye movements, there's no, you know, you don't get upset as easily, right? So this way I know exactly what you want to say and how you want to say it. Because if I was to judge my children and make decisions based on every time, you know, we talk, I would always be in havoc with them. I would always be upset. So, you know, this way
I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean. But, see, these are adults. These are adults. And the adults were all, like that. And I said to them, okay, then I won't tell you.
Well, it doesn't sound very grown up to me. Either your behavior, Ms. Dooley, if you'll pardon me, or the behavior of these parents. Sal, I appreciate very much your phone call, and
thank
I sympathize with the writing of the letters. That's very funny. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, hold on for a minute. You just said goodbye to that man. Hey, thanks, Sal. Hey, you know, man to man, and I'm what? The freak on the phone?
No, Ms. Dooley, you're not, but you're expressing an opinion that I'm taking exception to.
No, but I heard you say, okay, thanks a lot, Sal, and I really empathize,
No, I know what I said to the gentleman. I thought it was funny what he was saying about telling his kids to write a letter.
Right, but then you turned back to me and you went, okay, Miss Dooley, like I'm somehow the thing in the cage. Okay, so I'll see you later. I got to hose this down.
I did not say that.
Well, I feel as if I'm being treated that way. And I heard that.
Miss Dooley, I'm doing...
I heard somehow you went like that.
I'm sorry, but I am battling a cold. I apologize. You don't allow Christian prayer. You do allow Muslim and Jewish prayer and Sikh prayer, and you call that equality. Here is, I believe the name is House. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. There's been numerous Supreme Court cases, national and at the state level, mm-hmm. that have found that quota laws and affirmative action based on, religion and on race are unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. It's reverse mm-hmm. discrimination, and they've been found unconstitutional by people that actually have the power to do so.
Mm-hmm. So well, I don't know how does that apply to what... So what we're doing, that boy was allowed to have the little religious symbol. Otherwise, you know what happens? I have to deal with the Muslims, and I've got to deal with the, I don't know who else is out there. And they're all going to say the same thing, that our school is racially discriminates. So I dealt with it.
And then when the little boy who's praying the Christian prayer...
Well, that was a Christian... Who knows full well he's not allowed to do that. So they were trying to stick, I don't know how to put it, but it was as if they were putting my nose in it and rubbing my face around in it, you know?
Unfortunately, though, since the Supreme mm-hmm. Court has decided that displaying one religion over another religion, like allowing a Sheikh man to promote his religion over a Christian child praying, is unconstitutional. Neither are allowed to do it, or they're both allowed to do it. You can't favor one or the other, and you can't say that Christians have had all of this freedom the whole time. Either, you move forward and you say that you can do this or you can't, because the favoring of one religion over another was found unconstitutional numerous times by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're emotional about this. And
why do you say he's emotional?
Well, I heard his voice go... Am I making you angry, or I don't mean to?
You're not making me angry. It's
all right,
cold here in Central New York.
I beg your pardon?
It's cold.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I think what you have there is the little boy can wear the dagger. The Christian can't wear the cross or pray because I'm not favoring him. I am disfavoring this one, and excuse my language, this one punk.
So you don't like the kid or his family?
No.
Well, what about other Christian kids?
Oh, they're fine.
So you're telling me that I spent a whole hour talking to you about one Christian kid, but the rest of them, it doesn't matter?
Well, you're the one that was driving it home, Phil. Come. Give me that towel.
Phil.
I want a towel, Steve.
I'm getting a towel.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is inaccurate to state that the United States...
Hosni Mubarak, Phil, they are the old people in...
...research that supports the fact that this is just going to make the child...
If you want to go even further into the deep, you are welcome to, but it may be dangerous to the health of your...
Smell. Oh, that's rude. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass to places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't. Would you like a Super Bowl ticket? Well, you'll have to pony up nearly $5,000. Do you want a Super Bowl commercial? How about $3 million? And it's the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here, 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show website is philhendryshow.com. We have podcasts of each and every show. So tomorrow on iTunes, you get this show and others. Also, live video feeds of every one of us yelling at each other and screaming at each other and talking about how much we hate each other, because it's uncensored and you can see it behind the scenes. And that's always exciting to see people enjoying their work. And then...
You get mad. I love it.
Yeah, I bet you do. And then, of course, we have the affiliate list there. So check it out. Get a backstage pass. PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com. And now, in its first year since our redesign and relaunch of our website, and I think you have a lot of fun with it, and we think it's the greatest value in entertainment today. All right. So Robert and Bud, along with me here. We are going to talk Super Bowl, not a lot tonight, but we'll get into at least the price of tickets. But the big story here, and I say big story because everybody's talking about this, and when I say everybody's talking about it...
Yeah, everybody on Twitter talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I saw one of the guys back east say, remember, when you're in New York, the only thing you talk about is New York weather. Well, that's all they do talk about. But the fact is, in the Midwest and Chicago... And other places, and I talked, I got an email from my cousins in Toronto, Canada tonight, and they're digging out of it. Everybody's digging out of the snow, man. And Chicago, a city that usually sneers at winter, was brought to a near standstill on Wednesday by a blizzard with the third highest snowfall in the city's history. Chicago public schools, which hadn't closed since 1999, were shut on Wednesday, and officials were trying to decide whether to close them Thursday. Courts were closed. 5 suburban commuter rail lines were down.
What? I don't understand why everything closed. Why?
Because they can't make... The roads are not passable, man. You understand? Sometimes the roads are not passable, and...
What do you mean passable?
They can't travel on them.
Yeah, but what about a snowplow and everything?
Look, Bud, you know, it's nuts, okay? Look, a city the size of Chicago, with all of those people...
Yeah.
They got to plow the roads, then get all of those millions and millions of people going where they need to get going to. And it's after you get everything done, roads plowed, you know, cars unfrozen, this and that. You're never going to make it to work. It's not even going to be sensible to get the kids to school. That's why they close things down. It really is, you know, difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, it seemed to make people that weather beat them, man. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. We've been having snow ever since the beginning of man when mankind come here. Then why? How come we can't figure it out?
Since mankind come here?
Yeah.
Where'd we come from?
Well, they say that we were seeded by the aliens and everything, but I don't know.
Oh, man, you don't believe that, do you?
I don't know, but
Ever since mankind come to here, so you don't think we evolved on this planet, we might have been seeded.
There is that discussion going on currently, yes.
Uh-huh. Among who? You and your friends?
Yeah, man, they're talking about, like, stuff he heard on what do you call that prison planet, man? You know that guy?
Yeah, sometimes I listen to him.
Oh, well, you're high, man. You're high on methane. There ain't no man got seeded. But you do make one good point. We've been dealing with snow ever since the damn Ice Age. Now, that's when mankind... Really, you know, when the hominid that we are, the upright walking hominid that we are, that was something we had to deal with. You know, the beginning of our farming and our laying down of roots was about 10,000 years ago, and that was the end of the last ice age. So the ice age was something that caused humanity and all animal life on this planet to adjust radically the way it was living. And once the ice age went away, once everything melted, you know...
Well, they must have had some floods, huh?
Yeah, they probably had floods, but they didn't have no towns or anything, man. Nothing was going to get flooded. What do you mean floods?
Well, I mean, everything was melting.
Well, everything melted into the ocean is what it did. That's why we have oceans. You know, that's why we got the oceans, see?
What do you mean?
Well, we got oceans, man. A lot of the reason why the ocean looks the way it does and the landmass on Earth looks the way it does is because the ice melted, and that's what's left.
Well, I don't understand. You said that the people walked from Asia.
Yes, they walked from Asia when there was a land bridge, and then when the ice melted and all the water took over, there ain't no land bridge any. Do you know that between France and England, that was all land, that was dry land?
What?
It was dry land. It wasn't dry land. It was a marsh, but there was no English Channel. Okay, there was no English Channel.
Huh?
There wasn't any English Channel. What do I got to say it 50 times? There was no English Channel.
Well, what was that from? On account of no ice age?
Because there wasn't water that had filled up that English Channel. It was like a marshy, okay?
I don't know who that is.
It ain't a who. It's marshy as marshland, like a swamp. And it's very possible that the cliffs of Dover and those English cliffs, that's where a lot of, they think a lot of the early hunters, the hunter-gatherers, would stand there on those cliffs, and they could see the herds coming in from the continent, the European continent, the herds coming across the marshland, and they would be able to track the herds and go down and slay the buffalo and all of that jazz in those marshes, see? So,
man, I don't know, man. What they got photographs of that, I don't know.
Well, they don't have no photographs of it, man, but there is ample archaeologic and geologic evidence. Thank you very much. Let me finish this story. Lakeshore Drive, the city's main... Look at this, man. I went off 5 minutes about marshland and the English Channel. I'm trying to talk about the weather here. Lakeshore Drive, the city's main north-south thoroughfare, was shut down and littered with over 200 abandoned cars. Side street... Look at that, bud. People just got out of their cars and left them there.
What? I don't understand that.
They got out of... They couldn't move them. Side streets were impassable. Even plowed arterial streets and highways were eerily empty. John Pazenzi, who is a maintenance worker at a Chicago church, said this is pretty unbelievable. He was out with a snowblower clearing a path Wednesday morning, snow clinging to his mustache and eyebrows. I was around in 67, but this is really crazy. What was he referring to? Well, the highest snowfall on record in Chicago was in January of 1967 with 27 inches, followed by January of 1999 with 21.6 inches. Now, how many inches have they had at this one? The 2011 blizzard's total so far has been 20.2 inches, so it's not yet reached the level of January, but I'm sure it will. That was at O'Hare Airport as of 12 p.m. yesterday, according to the National Weather Service. The sun came out in the afternoon. Mr. Pazenzi, who's also a suburban firefighter, helped emergency workers deliver a baby in an ambulance Tuesday night. A snowplow had to precede the ambulance to the hospital. People spotted on the street have been either emergency workers, snow shovelers. It's crazy, man. You know, my parents come from, you know, many of us in California are the sons and the daughters and the grandsons and the granddaughters of people who traveled here from back east. Like, where are your people from, Robert?
South Carolina.
South Carolina, okay. And, Bud, you're from here?
Yeah, they come from Oildale.
From Oildale, Bakersfield?
Yeah.
They didn't come from Oklahoma?
Uh-uh. They were here a long time, way before that.
Well, here's the deal. My folks are from Toronto, Canada, you know, and my family, my cousins are still back there. So, and I had a great phone conversation with my cousin Franny on...
What's her name, Franny? What kind of name is that?
That's her name. Don't go... So, I was talking to her on Sunday, and I remember saying to my mom, you know, when she was alive, I said, because my father had died and my mother was older and her sister lives in Toronto. And I said, don't you want to go back to Canada? And she looked at me like I was stark raving mad. She said, I'll never go back to that. Are you out of your mind? She goes, I will never, ever go back to that snow. So the people had left and came out west, obviously, you know.
They couldn't take it. A lot of people back there are way tougher than them.
What do you mean way tougher? I mean, yeah, they're tough, but do you think maybe the folks that moved out here were smarter? What do you think about that?
Well, how smart you gonna be if you can't find a job or nothing?
Well, back then you could. Not now. Now's a bad time to move to California. Now's about the worst time you could possibly move to California. But back then, that was the thing to do. So anyway, she looked at me like I'd flip my lid, man. She's like, you think I'm gonna go back to that? I wouldn't go back to that for love or money. And the stories of people slipping on their ass and busting their ass on the ice. And
you're talking about when you lived in it.
I lived in it very briefly. And I know that I'm talking, you know, I must sound ridiculous to people listening to our show tonight in very snowed in environs, such as the gentleman that called from Buffalo and the people that called from Chicago and so on. But for a, what the hell is that, man? That looked like a giant rabbit. For a guy from the West Coast to be living in all of that, you know, and to be living in all of that snow was insane. And so when I left the studio one night, and it was the very first snowfall of my life living in snow, and I was in my 40s already. I was living in Minneapolis working at CCO. And I walked out of the studio, and I went to get my car, and I got in my car, and I thought, I've never driven in this before. Well, I got a four-wheel drive truck, so what the hell? And I got out on that stuff, man, and I'm telling you, I just slid, you know, for like half the block.
You probably put the brakes on and everything.
I did. I mean, I'm like, oh, it's a red light. You know, I mean, there wasn't any. I was just sliding on this thing. Thank God it was so late at night. There wasn't any traffic on the freeway at all. Not any traffic at all, man. All right, we're going to come back here. The Alaska mom who forced her kid to take cold showers and drink hot sauce as punishment. Well, she's going to sue, man. She's going to sue Dr. Phil because she looks like a, you know, a real horse's ass. So let's find out what happened there. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And those shot glasses, man, our brand new shot glass coming very, very soon to our merchandise store.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So all's well that ends well, but cold weather, no. Mm-mm. Not me, man, you know.
Yeah, you said you got out of there pretty fast, though.
It ain't that I don't like, it's not that I didn't like Minneapolis. It ain't that I don't like the people. I just couldn't, I admit, I'm not tough enough, you know. That's the way they want to put it. I'm fine with that. I ain't tough enough, you know. I can't live in that, you know. All right, here is a lady that is in Alaska, which I imagine that gets cold too, but this is not about Alaska. In fact, what's the weather like in Alaska right now?
Let me look it up on my iPhone.
Yeah, you do that.
Man, he just got an iPhone and look at all that weather and everything.
Yeah, you find out what it is. Aren't they getting any cold weather there in Alaska? Don't they have that Alaska flow coming down and freezing everybody's ass in the Midwest? Isn't that why it gets cold in the Midwest? Because they have the Alaska air? 34 degrees in Anchorage and it's raining. Wow.
Man, it must be like, if that's in Anchorage, Alaska, and this is January, they'll never see the sun. It's never going to be out.
Well, yeah, it's going to come out sooner or later.
Yeah, but not now, not today. They probably haven't seen sun in days. The way I got it figured.
How do you know, man?
Because this is a winter time.
Well, I know that, but what do you mean they haven't seen it in days? How often does the sun come out in Alaska these days? When it's in January? What?
No, it'll come out for like an hour.
No, it doesn't.
It'll be sunny on Friday, says the weatherman. But what does that mean? It just means the skies are clear?
Yeah, they'll see the moon.
Sunny on Friday, that means you'll see the moon in Alaska. Well, we have a great affiliate there in Anchorage. I think we got a couple of Alaska affiliates. Clear skies and sunny in Alaska, but 24 degrees. That ain't bad. 24 degrees, man. That beats the hell out of like 85 below or something. I mean, you figure this is January in Alaska. I mean, that's up near the freaking North Pole, man. How could it possibly be 24 degrees? That's amazing.
Oh, kind of global warming.
Global warming.
Get out of here.
You know something, man? I ain't buying into that. Anyway, Utah relatives say Alaska hot sauce mom getting a bad rap. Well, let's find out, shall we? From her Dr. Phil appearance, the Utah family is saying that this lady got hosed, if you'll pardon the expression, by Dr. Phil. Well, who hasn't? Video of Alaska mom Jessica Beagley using hot sauce and a cold shower and a cattle prod and a gas oven. No, I'm kidding. Just a hot shower and a cold shower and hot sauce.
Yeah, with a bit of hot chair and a cold sauce.
Yeah, that's real funny. And to punish her 7-year-old adoptive son is all over the internet, garnering over a million hits. And you heard my outraged reaction last week on this show when I heard that woman and that kid being, you know, that was terrible.
That is a threat.
That was me last Friday. Anyway, last week, Beagley, who submitted home video footage to show in an effort to get help in disciplining her child. Yeah, sure, lady. You wanted to be famous. You could tell your friends you're on Dr. Phil. And you got a trip to wherever the hell he does his show in, which was probably really exotic. Where does he do his show?
Like Cincinnati.
So you got a trip to Cincinnati. Where does he do his show? New York?
I don't know.
Last week, Beagley submitted this video. She pled not guilty to a child abuse charge after footage from the show showed her forcing her 7-year-old son to drink peppery hot sauce after he misbehaved. Beagley and her husband, a police officer, adopted the little boy shown in the video from Russia. God, that poor baby. I'm telling you, I don't care, man. When you hear a child screaming, like that, I don't give a damn what. I mean, kids will scream if they see a bug, you know?
Yeah, if they see like a mouse or something.
If they see a mouse. Well, they'll scream, but then they go to you for comfort. They go, oh, you know, some kids will scream. Little kids. Kids will scream when they're scared. Kids will scream, you know. But for that child to be screaming and you're the source of it, what you're doing to that child is the source of it, I couldn't, I'm sorry, you know. Anyway, family members now are coming to the aid of this Beagley. Who these family members, they live in Utah, and they said the media, naturally, is not giving out the whole story, which probably it isn't. I mean, that's the media. But how much of the story do I need to hear, man? You can hear this baby. Where is this man? Here is the kid in this video shot by the family member. It aired on Dr. Phil. Jessica Beagley scolds her 7-year-old child. And now I'm going to tell you, some of this stuff's kind of hard to hear.
Why did you tell me you did not pull a card when you pulled 3? Why did
you? She's talking about pulling a card. He got disciplined at school.
Why did you tell me you did not pull a card when you pulled 3?
Because you're fat and ugly, Mom. Because I hate you.
You didn't want to get in trouble. Does it work to lie to me? What happens when you lie to me?
I get hot sauce.
You get hot sauce. What else happens when you lie to me?
I get a water.
Do you get in more trouble for lying to me?
What a bitch. Here is cut 2. We might as well play this. The boy gets tossed into a cold shower. Now this, I couldn't listen to all of this. This is how pissed off and disturbed I got when I played this last week. But I'll go ahead and I'll play the whole thing through, so that we can all revel in what a great mom this lady is and how she's getting a bad rap from the media.
What is the consequence for pulling a car?
Cold shower.
A cold shower. Get undressed right now. Kristoff, why are you getting a cold shower?
Because I pulled 3 cars.
You pulled 3 cars today. That's not acceptable behavior. You are to do what you are told. You are supposed to listen to your teacher, and when you are told to stop, you stop. Do you understand what I am telling you? Did you listen to your teacher today?
No.
No, you did not. Is that why you are in the shower?
Yeah.
You are in the shower because you made bad choices.
And because your mom enjoys torturing you, and because your mother was tortured like this when she was a child, and because she's basically upset and angry that she adopted a Russian kid, and she needs a kid to take it all out on, and she wouldn't do this to her own blood children, and she's got a kind of a stupid cop for a husband who sort of figures she's a really good mom, and he just lets her do whatever she wants, and he will not have anybody speak to her, you know, about his wife that way. She's just a really great lady. And she has relatives in Utah, and they think she's so fantastic. But in point of fact, she's a little bit miserable with herself and probably a little bit miserable with her life. And she needs someone to beat up on, somebody to lord it over, someone to abuse, because that was what happened to her. And this is a little Russian kid, and Russians, you know what they are, they're one step up from animals, and so she really needs to discipline that kid. And then she's going to go on Dr. Phil, and then she can tell her friend she was on Dr. Phil in case they missed it, and she'll get tapes of her being on Dr. Phil, and she'll show those tapes of her being on Dr. Phil to the friends that didn't want to see it in the first place. Oh, God. Oh,
man.
I can't stand these people, you know, and they all got their newfangled. Yes, you know, Dr. Phil, I just don't know what to do. You know, this guy, Dr. Phil, I'd like to get on his show and just stand up and urinate.
Urinate, man, I'd put you in a nut house.
That's what I would do. I would stand up. Dr. Phil, I'd be like that guy in Dances with Wolves. Remember that captain who goes, I peed in my pants and you can't do anything about it. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. God. I'm going to give you a cold shower, bud, because you pulled three cards. Yeah, you farted.
Phil Hendry.
That's it. You farted three times.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, so I didn't even finish this, and I don't know how much of this I want to read, but I'll get serious here for just a minute. This woman, this Beagley, all right, you heard what she was doing with the kid to discipline him, and this videotape went out, and it went around the world on the internet, and people called the police, and she got charged with this, and she has with child abuse, and she has pled not guilty. And the other question that I had that hasn't been answered yet is, what was Dr. Phil doing other than sitting there looking smart and acting dumb?
Well, what's he supposed to do?
Well, I don't know. He's a doctor, and doctors are among other things, informed of, or should be informed of the legal procedures if they suspect that there is any kind of abuse going on. Maybe he didn't think there was. I don't know. You know.
That probably, man, he thought that was okay.
I mean, maybe, if he called the cops on that woman, there wouldn't be another, he would never have another Dr. Phil show as long as he lived.
Why?
Because nobody would trust going on his show anymore. I ain't going on Dr. Phil. I'll get turned into the cops. So, moving on to the second part of this, the family members who live in Utah say the media is not giving out the whole story. They didn't discuss the challenges the child is going through and the problems that they have had on getting him to this point. What point is that? Where you're now sticking hot sauce down his throat? They just focus on the punishment. Well, the challenge is they adopted this child out of Russia. Okay? What about the challenges this child is going through? Not the challenge. It says that they didn't discuss the challenges the child's going through. I think they're talking about the challenges the parents went through. They just focus on the punishment, said Beagley's sister-in-law, Cheryl, who doesn't want her last name given out because she says she's being harassed by the media trying to get in touch with her brother. Her last name's Beagley. Now, I'm kidding. I don't know what her last name is. Cheryl said, wait a minute, trying to get in touch with her brother. Who is Cheryl? Oh, the sister-in-law. Well, this woman's name is Beagley, so therefore, oh, yeah, okay. Wait a minute.
If her name's Beagley, then the brother's name is Beagley.
Yeah, the brother named Beagley, then Cheryl be Beagley.
You guys just like saying that name, don't you?
Beagley.
No, her husband's name would probably be something else.
Well, that's right, yeah.
So, her husband's last name could be entirely different, but this Cheryl Beagley, who is married to the cop. All right, anyway, Cheryl said the 7-year-old was adopted from Russia along with his twin. But since the twin didn't behave well, they just tossed the twin out of the car and kept the other. No, I'm kidding. She said the child tries to control his brother, won't conform to family rules, and constantly lies. Well, maybe your family rules are up the butt there, Ms. Beagley. But she said the media hadn't focused on that at all. The media hasn't focused enough on the things you're going through there, Ms. Beagley, has it? The media hasn't focused on the terrible, terrible thing. He's lying, and he's trying to control his brother. Well, brothers don't do that, do they? And he won't conform to the family rules. Like what family rules? That you all walk around on your knees 3 hours a day? That you pull the wings off of butterflies?
Well, that's not fair, man. You don't know.
No, you're right. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this nut family. I feel bad for the kid. I'm telling you right now. I got no sympathy for this one. I saw a thing on TV. I'm telling you right now. I got to get this off my chest. I thought I was going to bawl. I thought I was going to bawl. A fire. You know, this is a very famous fire. And Jason, you can look it up, man. It was a horrible fire that took place in Massachusetts that took the lives of a great many firefighters. It was a terrible fire, and I know many of you people who live in the area, you know the one I'm talking about. It was in a cold storage building, no windows. Two homeless people had set a fire for warmth or cooking, and this fire wound up It was the Worcester Cold Storage Fire in 1999. Just a terrible, terrible tragedy. And a number of firefighters died. It grew to a 5-alarm fire. It raged for 6 days. 6 days before being brought under control. They had companies coming in from the city, from neighboring towns. They had 6 Worcester firefighters die. And it was set by 2 people who were mentally disabled. They brought these people into the courtroom and initially charged them with, I believe, a manslaughter charge. And they eventually dropped the charges because they realized, you know what, and even the firefighters, the surviving firefighters, the fire company, and the community, nobody really wanted to charge these people. I mean, there wasn't any satisfaction in that. There wasn't any real anything in that. These 2 people who were just stumbling through life, you know. And the part of it that just killed me, after watching all of this, because then you see, well, the families are moving on, the fire company is moving on, and the town is pulling together. But then I just, a woman and her husband are watching the news in Maine, and they see one of these 2 mentally disabled. It's a young lady. I guess she's in her late teens. One of these 2 people, one was a man, the other was a young lady. The man was in his 30s, she's 19. And they said, my God, she looks an awful lot like our daughter. And they realized that they had adopted their daughter. She was a twin. And the thing that got to me, and I maybe this just makes me strange, is that this one child was adopted into this family, this loving, beautiful family, and the other child was sort of set adrift. And you see this girl standing there in a courtroom, 19 years of age, totally disheveled. Her name was Julianne Barnes. And she's a pretty girl, but she had nobody. She had nothing. She had nothing, man. I mean, she was just one of life's casualties, you know, and they set a fire. They didn't mean to hurt anybody. They wanted warmth. They wanted to cook some soup. Who knows what they were trying to do? And they, the fire is finally out of control. These 2 people apparently watched this fire burn from respective places. One guy was at a friend's, and this young girl had taken refuge with a friend of hers at a hotel and was looking out the window at this raging fire. And so anyway, the family with the twin goes down to Worcester, makes an appeal to the court, and makes an appeal to the state service that would have aegis over this young woman, and they adopted her. They adopted her. And I thought, that's a great thing, man. Now, this has a postscript, because I got so interested in this story, you should have seen me, man. I'm like online and everything.
Yeah.
So I find out about Julianne Barnes. Julianne Barnes now is in her late 20s, was raised, obviously, with this family, a good family, a beautiful family, and her sister, I think, was a little bit, the twin that was raised without her, is a little bit more disabled than she is. But she met a guy, and they got married, and now she's ostracized from this family. And the family apparently wants more contact with her, and she doesn't want to have contact with them. The family wants to have a little more to say, because I think both of these kids who are mentally disabled, they're married, and they're going to have a baby. So, but she doesn't want them in her life. And I began thinking about this. And, you know, you can say whatever you want, but when you've been kicked around and you've been eaten out of garbage cans and you've been barely making your way in life and you've survived for 19 years without any shred of help from anybody. And I don't know when I say, I don't know, but this child, this woman was 19, living on the street. And all of a sudden people swoop in and want to save your ass, you know.
Yeah, they're trying to tell you what to do.
Yeah, and then they start telling you what to do. Now, yes, you should be grateful, and yes, you should recognize how miraculous this is, that you, here's your sister, and here are these people that have come out of nowhere to save me from this hell that I was living. But I got a life I got to live, and they weren't there when I was, you know, 15 years old being raped. Or being turned out. Using drugs. No parents, no nothing. They weren't there. I had to do what I had to do. And, you know, you learn some things, and sometimes you learn what you want and what you don't want. And as good as those people were that adopted her, that's the one thing when I read the story, I thought, well, they don't recognize that. They don't recognize that this girl, she's mentally disabled, but she's not so disabled that she can't be married and she can't have kids. And this is the life that she wants to have. And it's about time that she has it, because God knows, man, a decision was made a long time ago that her sister and her would be separated. And her sister would go off to live in a beautiful home with a beautiful family with love and food and an education. And this child is turned out into the streets. And, I mean, that just broke my heart, man. I mean, it just killed me, you know.
Well, they make them adopt twins, you know.
I don't know what the law says, but I'll tell you, I would, if it was up to me, I wouldn't let people adopt. I wouldn't let them separate twins. No way. No way. No. Adopt them, both of them, or forget it?
Yeah, but then they never adopt anybody. They probably don't want to take two.
Well, I'm telling you, this killed me to see what happened to this kid. But I was happy to see that she decided, well, you know what, I'm going to live my life. And I don't know what, you know, if that's the whole story, and I'm sure everybody's got their opinion, you know, and but it's the King family. And the King family said they couldn't take on two kids with special needs, and Julie was left behind in foster care. God, that just kills me. Yeah, I know you couldn't take on two kids with special needs. So then don't split up those girls. Don't split those twins up. And you look at the two girls, they're identical. They're both pretty. But one lived in this home and had a school and had medical care and all of the great things you have. And the other one, what's she doing? Squatting in an abandoned building, trying to heat some soup. And the next thing you know, a fire that takes the lives of six men. It's horrifying. Anyway, I didn't mean to bum you out or anything.
That's pretty sad.
I know. And I just put a bummer on the whole show. But I mean, I couldn't, you know.
Don't do it again, man.
Oh, get out of here. Don't do it again. That's what this hot sauce mom made me think about. Her and her adopted Russian kid. What the hell do you... What are you doing, lady? You know, this is America. This is the United States of America. This isn't czarist Russia. This isn't the communist gulag. This isn't some God knows what. Over here, man, we got some love going on, you know? We got, good stuff, man. Don't take some little kid out of a orphanage and torture the kid.
You're Julianne Barnes on Twitter. I'm going to go find her.
Well, I don't... What do you mean, Twitter? I'm going to smack you, too. I don't know. Is she on Twitter?
I'll look for her, man. I'm going to find out that Russian kid on Twitter, too, and talk some smack about his old lady.
Yeah, that little Russian boy ought to be on Twitter. We can send him messages and stuff.
How to escape.
No, don't do it. All right, we'll be back here. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Phil Super Bowl tickets on sale. $5,000 and they're yours. Yeah.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
What are you talking about, man?
Man, what are you guys doing?
We're talking about twins that ought have been broken up.
Yeah, dude, like if you could think about a twin should have been busted up, like those little girls should not have been busted up.
Right. I don't think any twins should be broken. You know what Rance just told me when he was. Welcome back to the show, guys. Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Rance just told me that when he was working with dogs, adopting dogs and stuff, that they would not split up brother and sister dogs.
What do you mean, like a litter or something?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it was a male-female dog, they would not let you adopt just one. You had to take two. That's what they make you do with dogs. With humans, though, who cares?
What, are you kidding me? You can't do it with a human being, but you can't do it with a dog. That's the most retarded thing. That's probably the most retarded thing since Julianne Barnes. Now, the other thing...
Will you shut up, man? You gonna make a joke like that?
Yeah, man.
What?
The most retarded thing. What was the thing you wanted to say?
I'm just saying, we're talking about twins that oughta had to have been split up. And my vote's the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees. They're not twins. They're not even twins. They're three guys.
Well, no, but they are twins.
How do you figure the Bee Gees are twins?
Look just like each other.
No, they don't look just like each other.
Yeah, they do, man. Look at them. They all grin the same way. They got the big grin. And they all got, like, the teeth are too big.
Yeah. And the one guy, the only difference is one guy has got a space between his teeth.
Oh, I see. So these cats are twins.
Well, triplets.
They ain't triplets.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look, I'd be willing to bet you they're not triplets. The Bee Gees are triplets. The Bee Gees are triplets.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you do that, man.
Okay, my vote was they should have busted up, I don't know if they're triplets, Donnie and Marie Osmond. Are they triplets?
Donnie and Marie Osmond, how many of them are there?
Two.
Would they be triplets?
Well, probably not.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, huh? And they should have been split up. I don't even think they're twins. So I think you guys are 0 for 2 on this one.
You're kidding me, man. But look at Donnie and Marie Osmond. If they ain't twins, then what's life for? You know,
if Donnie and Marie Osmond aren't twins, what's life for?
You tell me they're not twins.
I'm telling you right now, I don't think they're twins. I think one's older than the other one. I don't know. Okay? And as far as the Bee Gees being triplets, Super Bowl tickets averaging almost $5,000 here. This just in from Rance. Oh, he's giving me the White Stripes. Oh, yeah, the Jack White and his sister Jezebel, or whatever the hell her name is.
Yeah.
Well, what about them?
Yeah, they should have been split up.
You're a sick bastard. Now, the White Stripes were a brother-sister group. Now, they just broke up. In fact, is this today's Washington Post? The White Stripes announced that they have broken up, and this announcement was on their website today, actually Wednesday. The split, the band said, was not due to artistic differences, but mostly to preserve what is beautiful and special about the band and have it stay that way. It makes sense that the White Stripes would announce their end suddenly and without fanfare. The duo of Jack and Meg became one of the world's most popular bands. Perhaps no current American act boasted a better combination of critical acclaim and box office power by being rock stars who adhered to their own rules. The band could have cashed in on a farewell tour or simply soldiered on, headlining festivals and playing its blues garage rock scorchers, but then they'd have to read articles like this about them, and that they could not bear any longer. Thank you very deeply. It's been nice. My name, Dave Mollets of the Washington Post. I now go to kill myself. Now, he didn't write that, but, you know, I could probably read you the rest.
Do you think they're twins?
I don't know if they're twins, man. Do you know what a twin is? Oh, we're talking about twins, not just two people that look alike. So anyway, the White Stripes have broken up. The band became less active in recent years as Jack performed with various side projects, the Rockin' Tours, the Dead Weather, focused on his Third Man Records label, and basically abandoned his sister for more glory and fame elsewhere, while his poor sister Emma sat there beating on the drums and wondering, you know, why she's alive. And also, he became sort of a fairy godfather for such veteran acts as country star Loretta Lynn and rockabilly queen Wanda Jackson, producing their comeback albums, introducing them to a new generation, but making most of the money off each project.
All right.
That doesn't say that.
What do you want to bet, though, that that's the truth?
Man, you got bad. You think Jack White is some kind of lying, thieving, no good, stumbling, muttering?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know him. He's probably a nice guy, but I think I'll just have a bad opinion of him. They were married. They posed as siblings.
What? Did?
They were not brother and sister.
No, they were brother and sister, and they had incest. Man.
No, man. Don't go there.
No, that's what happened.
No, don't go there. All right, finally, Super Bowl tickets. 4 days before the Super Bowl between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers, we have picked here on the Phil Hendry Show, our official pick, Steelers win. Tickets to the game are being resold for an average of $4,683, almost twice as much as a year ago. The popularity and history of the teams has helped drive up ticket demand and prices in the National Football League Championship, scheduled for February 6th at Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas. The Packers and Steelers have 9 Super Bowl titles between them, or we can put it this way, the Steelers have 6, the Packers have 3. And they have ranked 3rd and 4th in 2010 Harris Interactive poll to the most popular NFL franchises. The cheapest Super Bowl tickets available are $2,309, according to FanSnap. These are all scalped. What's the face value on these things, man? That's what I want to know. What is the here we go. When the first Super Bowl, tickets to the championship game have a face value ranging from $600 to $1,200. So the $1,200 seats are obviously the 50-yard line seats, and those are going for, one, two, three, they're going four times face value.
That's a lot of money, but you got to figure that's the way it's going to be.
That is the way it's going to be. The very first Super Bowl, 44 years ago, the highest ticket price was $12. And just to give you some basic idea what that means, you could go to a concert. That was 1967. You could go to a concert and see four bands for like a buck and a half, $2. So $12, you know.
You can live on $12 for a whole week and stuff.
Right. World famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get your backstage pass. Visit our merchandise store for our shot glasses, coming soon.
Phil Henry.